Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
What am I eating? You're in the studio here with me. What am I eating?
Well, they can't see you.
Well, what is it? What am I eating?
You want to know the real answer?
Yeah.
You're eating...
Popcorn.
Popcorn.
Why am I eating popcorn?
Because welcome to the Movies Hate You Show.
Movies Hate You Show, you fool. Of course I'm eating popcorn. It's damn good. It's Parmesan herb.
Mm.
You don't say herb. You say herb.
You say herb.
Remember, what fast food chain was that had the don't be a herb? Remember that? Was that Burger King?
Yeah, it was Burger King, I believe. Yeah.
We're dating ourselves.
Mm. I date myself every night.
This is damn good popcorn. Smart Food Selects.
Our new sponsor, right? Are they our new
sponsor? Yes. Smart Food Selects, the new sponsor of the Movies Hate You Show. This is made by Kellogg or some jerky Monsanto.
And we're almost out. The bag's almost empty. So if they want to, Smart Food would like to send us some more.
Yeah, they make a buffalo cheese popcorn as well, which I haven't tried. It doesn't sound appealing to me.
It sounds delicious. If that was free, I bet I would try it.
If it was free, I would try it, but I'm not going to spend $4 on a bag of popcorn with some buffalo cheese powder on it.
I think we're running out of time.
For Smart Food?
Wrap up the show?
Hey, thanks for joining us. This has been a great show. Smart Food, thanks for being our sponsor. Right? Smart Food? Like, what's so smart about it? Is it smart because it's healthier for you, or does it make you smarter when you eat it? It's like, you know, this Smart Food Selects thing, they're kind of saying, like, this is for like, the hipsters.
It sometimes gets stuck between your teeth, and that's smart. That's really smart.
What's the worst part about popcorn? They do all this genetic engineering, but they can't engineer that out of it, right? These are good.
These are really good. I wish that every movie
right you. Wait, we're on the air. Did we get our theme song? I thought I heard it.
You did.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Movies Hate You Show again.
Welcome back again. My name is R.O.B. Rob. And with me is the co-conspirator of the show, Mr. Ree, Lee Peterson, the mental oriental.
Aroha! How y'all doing?
And a big shout-out to Todd Sheets and the whole Jackalope family for hosting us here on this fine station in the heartland of America. We really do appreciate it. A couple Yanks like us really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the debate last night. I take Todd as a Romney guy and the Jackalope thing. And something about the Midwest.
I think maybe more of a Ryan guy. Todd, are you a Ryan guy?
He's a Ryan guy.
Yeah.
No.
Well, here's what I figured out last night after the debate, or this week, or whatever. I don't know when this is airing. When's this airing?
Sunday nights.
There'll be another debate right before this airs,
A mass debate. Can you believe the masturbation that's going on?
All right. So I figured this out, and so Obama, okay, is a streaming download candidate, and Mitt Romney is a VHS candidate.
Ooh.
All right? Think about it.
Okay. Now what?
Well, it's kind of like formats versus political stances.
Now, a lot of our listeners, though, are VHS proponents,
right? So they should vote for Romney.
Really? So you're urging our listeners to vote for Romney?
If you are a VHS aficionado, you should vote for Romney. because Romney represents the VHS of politics. Obama represents the VOD of politics.
Hmm.
See what I'm trying to say? Are we going back or forward?
Oh, now I get it. Retro or...
I'm not saying either is right or either is wrong.
Hmm.
My vote goes for neither. Let's just say that. We'll make it neutral.
I'm still hung up on the Mormon or the Muslim thing. You know,
right. Do you want a Mormon or a Muslim? Do you want VHS or do you want digital?
Food for thought.
Food for the smart food for
smart
thought.
Smart food for that. When you're pulling that lever, which I will be later tonight.
When you're pulling your lever on the 6th.
Then think
they moved it, right?
I don't know. They don't want anyone to know exactly when it is. So there's probably a game on that night. So I'll move it again. But you know, here's the thing. You know, there doesn't seem to be any real talk about this, but Paul Ryan, I mean, is there any chance this guy is straight?
Right.
Have you looked at this guy?
You said that about Santorum.
Well, yeah, I stand by that. But okay, listen to this. Okay, he's a weightlifter. Okay,
mm-hmm.
The guy spends an inordinate amount of time working on his six pack.
Yeah,
his pythons.
Mm-hmm. You're all calling them that. Does he call them that?
I don't know. He might, but all that, you know, be that as it may, not everybody who works out is gay.
No,
obviously,
no, that's ridiculous.
It's not.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, of course.
I think you're okay. Go ahead.
Check this out, though. Check this out.
Yeah.
The guy's married.
Married.
Has kids.
To a woman.
Yeah. Has kids.
Yeah.
Guess what his daughter's name is?
Manly.
Liza.
Liza.
Case closed. I have no further questions, Your Honor. Liza. Come on.
Yeah, but Liza's a biblical name.
No, Liza's a gay name.
Liza Minnelli?
There's only one Liza.
You're talking about Liza Minnelli.
Right, that's the only Liza I know. Do you know of another Liza?
Well, I mean, there's hundreds of Lizas. I mean, no, but famous Liza?
Famous Liza.
So
would you name your daughter Liza if you were straight?
Maybe it wasn't his decision. Maybe the wife forced his hand. Or didn't force his hand.
Yeah.
Maybe she forced his hand and that's how Liza came about.
Well, I don't know. It's my story. I'm sticking to it.
I mean, that's to me, this sounds as ridiculous as somebody saying, you know, Obama's a robot for the Illuminati lizard people. I mean, who cares if he... And so what if he's gay? Let him be gay. I hope he's gay.
Well, he also...
Because it doesn't matter. Is he a jerk? Yeah, he's a jerk.
He also... Nobody really spends that much time... I mean, his agenda, his voting record is so anti-gay. So anti-gay that Jesse Helms even, like, is in shock. You know, it's that gay.
Yeah.
Anti-gay, excuse me.
Oh, okay.
And nobody cares that much, right? Unless there's something going on, right? Mark my words. You heard it first on the Movies Hate You Show.
You heard it first about Paul Ryan, the VP candidate,
yeah,
on the Movies Hate You Show,
yeah,
with the place everyone goes to for their political information.
Well, this is going
to... You heard it first that Paul Ryan's in the closet.
Yeah.
You called Santorum in the closet, yeah, and we never found that out.
It's a big closet. It's a walk-in closet.
It's a
big one.
It's a Walking Dead closet.
Ooh, Walking Dead. Hey, good segue.
Wait a minute, stop. You're forgetting the most important part of this show. We have a guest tonight on MHU.
It isn't Paul Ryan,
MHU
is it?
Guest. It is Paul Ryan.
Oh,
Paul Ryan, are you there?
Oh, dead air.
Paul Ryan? Hello?
I mean, I'm here, but I'm not Paul Ryan.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Give him the proper introduction.
You're a fool, man. Hmm. That wasn't Paul Ryan.
That wasn't fair.
It's our old friend Ken Lucas.
What?
Ken Lucas.
In the flesh?
You know, you ever heard of, like, Unwinnable podcast?
Yeah. Unpinnable?
Unpinnable. Unsinkable. Unwipeable. Have you heard of these things?
Right.
This is the man.
Ours is unlistenable. And
we're unlistenable, yes. No, he has an unlistenable.
Hey.
Sorry.
He has a copyright on that.
Well, I'll see you in court.
Ken's also involved in this awesome, is it twice now or three times? I'm losing track, Ken. The Geek here on the East Coast in New Jersey.
Twice a year.
Twice a year. It feels like three times this year, man.
It should be, right?
Right, it should be. This show that's coming up in November feels like the third one this year for some reason, and I don't know why. It's probably just because I'm getting old.
This is no second one this year, and the fourth Geek Flea.
The Geek Flea is awesome because unlike a flea market, like if you just go down to your corner flea market on a Sunday afternoon, you're going to find like somebody selling brand new socks next to somebody selling like broken tools next to somebody selling like, you know, I don't know, Mexicana DVD CDs. You're going to find a lot of junk. It's going to take you a long time to go to find something that's cool that you're into. And you know what I mean by you is the listener who's in the know, who knows cool stuff, cool books, art, toys,
action figures,
games, mm-hmm. DVDs, movies, video, everything. So that's few and far between at a regular flea market. And then you have on the opposite end of that spectrum, you have the fan conventions, these, you know, whatever you go to in your town, where the celebrities come out and they take your $50 to wipe their nose and all that stuff. Okay, you have that. That's like the extreme where it's like all quote unquote cool stuff. But Geek Flea is somewhere in between, which is so awesome. It's like people, just average people, not dealers, not professional sellers, cleaning out their closet and their junk drawers and their, you know, book wall and DVD, you know, storage bins, and bringing it there and selling it, just, you know, for whatever, not marking it up, not $20 collector prices, average prices, man. You know, you want a DVD, that's $3, you know, it's $2. You want a book, yeah, that's 10 cents, you know, like that kind of stuff. But then, you know, there's like this table full of like wrestling figures, a table full of, you know, people that are into this stuff who collect it, who are just getting rid of stuff out of their collection. And there's fresh food.
Oh, food's great.
Tunes.
Veggie burgers, even.
Veggie burgers.
Veggies among us.
Yeah. Raffles.
Mm-hmm. Raffles? What?
Waffles. I said.
Waffles.
No, raffles.
I thought he said rat holes. You thought he said waffles.
We are near New York, right?
Mind. Whatever you
yeah,
imagine.
We. Yeah, exactly. We have that New York mentality. Everything's a rat. Anything that moves is a rat until identified otherwise. But yeah, the Geek Flea is one of the favorite things that I've done in this area in years, and I go every time. And I, Mr. Ree had a table there one of the Indeed. Times, and we were Indeed. Selling our wares, trying to make beer money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're both in the movie.
People coming up, you just have conversations about stuff. It's like the way conventions used to be. Like in, you know, let's say 1989, 1990, like the old Schiller Theater, where it was just, you know, people were into stuff going there. And most of the time you just talked and compared notes on stuff. Oh, what do you have? What do I have? It wasn't this kind of like, you know, I'm starstruck and Tony Curtis is sitting there picking his toenails and I get to pay to watch. That kind of stuff. You know, it's not that. It's just they don't have guests. And if they do, I've never heard of them. They're like local celebrities or something. They know each other. Everybody knows each other there. It's that kind of thing, family.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Listener, do you understand this? You people out there, you know what that means?
Drop us an email.
And guess how much it costs to get in? Guess how much a ticket is to get into Geek Flea?
Oh, I don't know, $25, $30?
You would think so, right? Guess what?
Less than that?
The price is zero.
Zero.
You walk in the door for nothing.
Really? Zero at the door?
Nothing.
That's the best thing.
They'll even give you stuff when you go in there. There's tables of free stuff and flyers and all kinds of goodies.
Now, should we let Ken plug this properly? Where is it? When is it?
Let him do it.
Who is it?
Come on, Ken.
It is Unwinnable's Geek Flea 4 at on November 17th at the First Presbyterian Church of North Arlington, I believe, in Kearney, New Jersey, 663 Kearney Ave. Kearney, New Jersey. Should be a fun time.
It's about, what would you say, a 15-minute bus ride out of Port Authority in Manhattan?
Yeah, probably about 20, maybe about 20 minutes. It's, you know, near the, near Clifton, near the Clifton area. So it's near Paramus if you're in that area, or probably about 20 minutes from the city.
It's like right after, if you've ever been to what was formerly, I don't know what it is now, Giant Stadium. It has another name now. It's like 5 minutes There's like two exits past Giant Stadium if you're in a car.
Yeah.
I mean, close.
And is there public transportation? Can you...
There's a bus to New York, I think, that goes right on that street, isn't it, Ken?
Yeah, I believe there is... well, I know that that is a main avenue in those two towns in North Arlington and Kearney, so there's a lot of bus lines that run on that main ave. So I'm sure you could get public trans all the way out to the Geek Flea.
I really think that it drops you off right in front of the place or a block away.
Probably.
Stop there, yeah. But, you know, if you're not in the New York, New Jersey area, then you're not going to make it out. But you can start something like that in your town where you just get people together cleaning out their closets and having a cool thing in a VFW hall or a church or somewhere that's not pretentious, that doesn't cost $100 to walk in the door. And you can walk out with a bag of books and DVDs and stuff.
There's a lot of artists that we've seemed to attract now, too. I mean, even I make stuff and sell stuff, so...
Make clocks and shirts and toys, you know, art to hang
paintings.
On your
paintings.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Hang on your wall, right? A painting.
You could.
Yeah,
I guess if your wall's flat.
If your wall's flat, right. You can hang a painting. Right. Yeah, that's true. I didn't think of.
There was a guy I remember who made these Super Mario things. I'm going to sound like a grandpa here. It's a little Super Mario toadstool, whatever the hell they were. But he made them out of these little these toys that my kids have. They're little round plastic things that you meld together. Like you get them wet, stick together or something, whatever they're called. But he made these really cool.
You sure, that's for kids.
That's a separate thing. But he made little Mario things, and they were cheap. And there he made like magnets for your refrigerator and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they all looked very. 8-bit, is that the right word? 8-bit?
Very lo-fi?
Lo-fi.
Old 8-bit pixelated?
Yes, because of the nature of the little round things that he glued together, they looked very, very pixelated. And cool. Cool is what I was looking for. Very cool.
And you know, let me just be a jerk for a minute. I mean, not only is all this cool stuff happening, the chicks are hot at this thing.
Mm.
They're all, I mean, granted, most of them are guys, but like most conventions. But this is like geek girls, man. This is like girls with glasses. Got it. Do you like girls? Let me tell you, what kills me is a chubby girl with glasses and pigtails. And there's 20 of them walking around there. You can just go there and for free watch those girls walk around.
Mm-hmm.
Doing on November 17th.
Now they're not for sale though. You can't buy those.
No.
Well, we don't know that.
It's free to look.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, Ken? Is it free to look?
Free to look.
Ken, I know last time we talked about this, but are you against having celebrity guests of any sort? I mean, is that something you want to completely stay away from, or would you want to have a Jimmy Snuka sitting there just to maybe hook some people in who wouldn't normally come, or
I think down the line that is possibly something we're looking into. I think right now we want to see how far we could take it, this location, and then the next one or two fleas could be at possibly a larger location, and then we would look into, you know, integrating panels and probably some guests in the video game world, because, you know, in the end of the day, the website itself focuses on games and comics and pulp these days. So, you know, we want to reflect the site in some way. But I can see that in the future. I would like to see the Sheik, because I follow him on Twitter, and his Twitter is very interesting. You should follow the Iron Sheik if you don't.
Oh, really? Oh, Sheik's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Love him. Love him insane. Like yeah. Good insane.
Yeah. And you got to figure he's probably doing his own tweeting. He's not hiring an agency to do tweeting.
Well, he has a manager of some sort. Maybe just a manager.
Hmm. We actually talked about this on a show once that a couple guys thought, and it was someone tweeting for him. And if you read the tweets, you realize that it is him. It is all him.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm not a Twitter. I'm not a twit.
Why?
I but mostly because you never know who's really writing their own tweets. But I got to tell you, Beetlejuice from the Howard Stern Show definitely writes his own tweets because they're just random letters. random letters and characters. That'll be his entire tweet, and so you know it's him. You know he's just punching keys, and that's what I love.
It's like when the guy tries to write something, but he's already turned into a zombie, and he turn you know then you see the what he's written, and it's just like gobbledygook.
You know, back in the day, if you will, 15 or so years ago, I used to go to the Big Apple comic conventions in New York City, which started out, the Geek Flea reminds me of the early days of the Big Apple conventions. They were in a church, like in a church basement, somewhere around Columbus Circle. And it was mostly stuff for sale, mostly vendors, but they would have two or three guests, and they wouldn't be huge guests, but they would be maybe a Star Wars person to kind of hook people in. And I watched that grow and grow and grow, and now you know, it got so big that he ended up selling it to Wizard.
Wizard Magazine. Yeah, Wizard Dragon, whoever. So now I think it's Wizard.
Wizard, yeah. It's a completely different thing now. But
well, they want to make their own Comic-Con, you know, competition. Everybody wants Comic-Con, although when you go to Comic-Con, you can't even breathe. You can't even see what these people are offering for sale. And that's why I like something like Geek Flea, where it's just average people. You know, it's not – there's no bells and whistles. You're not going to walk into Geek Flea and be a – you know, friggin' display that's 9 feet tall with 17 monitors showing you like the latest Marvel superheroes fighting game or something. You know, it's just, that's so excessive. That should be a trade show in itself. They should have like a licensing system, right, for these things?
To franchise them, right?
For you to go there to these things as a seller. Like if you're a professional dealer, you should go to this show. But if you're just an average person trying to sell stuff out of your, you know, garage, you should go to this show. Like it should be,
They do have shows like that. I mean, you know, Chiller is like a consumer show, but Toy Fair is a true trade show. That is non-consumer. That is like, you're in the toy industry, you're a member of the press.
Right, but I remember like Chiller used to be people just bringing boxes out of their garage and selling model kits and stuff. Now I go there and somebody's got like a three-tiered, you know, fold-out thing where they're trying to sell like, you know, licensed reproductions of like Nosferatu figures or something. You know what I mean? It just doesn't have the same
feeling. Yeah, you're right, because early Chiller was just people, it was more people selling, and you know, like the guys that had their own garage kit model companies that just sold, you know, their own molds. But I guess Chiller, as you know, like everything else, has grown up, and in some way it becomes about the money, unfortunately.
It does, and I'm glad they've grown, and I, you know, support that, and that's fine. But like, to me, Geek Flea is this hidden gem. It used to be like what it can be like on a smaller level, and not saying, you know what, we don't want to compete with Comic-Con. You know what, we don't want to put out $10,000 in guarantees to have these guests sit here or to deal with their prima donna attitudes or managers and blah, blah. We don't want to do that. We just want people to come and sell stuff, come and look, talk, friendship, eat. You know,
we want everyone to have fun.
Yeah. I mean, and you can have fun at Chiller. It's a different kind of fun, is what I'm saying. Is there, you know, I used to go to Chiller to try to find, you know, stuff. I used to dig in boxes under tables, find tapes, press books, posters, toys, whatever it was. But like, I'm not going to do that if we go there now. Everything's so clean and neat, and you know, no one. So, in other words, what is the alternative to the internet? Like, if I have some stuff here in my apartment I want to sell, oh, okay, put it on eBay. That's fine, but you're losing that whole community thing that used to be at these conventions. And I really feel that Geek Flea captures that old, you know, where it's like you never know. Even if you see the same person at two Geek Fleas selling stuff, they have new stuff. And they might have a box of CD promos that they got from record companies for the last year, and you're digging through these things in a quarter a piece or something. You know, just stuff like that where things aren't valued in the same way that they are at the bigger shows. You know, I picked up rare out-of-print stuff at Geek Flea. People just had on their table for a dollar. oh my gosh, this is an out of print VHS tape. I grabbed it. You know, it's like a $30 tape. That's in my collection now. You know, the person didn't care. You know, it wasn't about, I'm going to make as much money as I want. It's like, I'm cleaning out my garage because I'm, you know, making room for something.
Mm-hmm. I sold Mr. Ree some wrestling tapes.
Oh my God, I love you for that. And also an old WWF board game. Which I played with my kids many times. We've had hours and hours of enjoyment, even though it seems like every question is about the 1996 Royal Rumble. But I'm an expert on the 1996 Royal Rumble now.
They were probably building up to it, right? Is that what
I think it was
post?
Post, yeah. Okay. But that was... the only reason I would advocate having a guest or two is that more people need to know about this. I mean, I feel like it's our little secret right now.
And I love that part of it.
So absolutely.
I want the old chiller back. I want to be like...
So do I.
Yeah, you know, it's like I want to be able to say like, yeah, I'm going to Geek Flea or I'm going to Chiller. And they'd be like, what's that? I don't know. Oh, it's this thing. Oh, really? That sounds weird. Blah, blah, blah. I don't want it to be like, oh, yeah, Chiller, I've heard of that. It's on the, you know, well, everybody's there. You know, that's where Val Kilmer was signed in autographs with his sunglasses on for 2 days. You know, like I don't want to... I like stuff like that. To me, that's true fandom is when it's not mainstreamed out, you know, when you're not trying to compete with Comic-Con or whoever, where it's really community-based. And I think we lost because of the internet.
I think that's what we like about Geek Flea, because we're getting everybody together. There's friends of friends, you know, and most of those people there miss the old chiller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can tell, and I know, you know, guys like, you know, Britton and the old timers, guys who were chiller from the beginning, they show up to Geek Flea. I see them there.
Yeah.
All these like North Jersey guys. And yeah, because you want to feel that. You want to be able to like have a conversation about the thing that's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and have somebody say, yeah, I mean, that was great. You know, I watched it, but yeah, I'm done with it. You know, I got to make room for new ones or something. And you can actually, it's not just this commodity sitting on a table that they wholesaled from somebody and they're trying to mark it up for a profit to sell to you, which is fine too. But I like that there's an alternative to these other shows. And it's not all horror either. It's everything. Mm-hmm. I love that it's everything. I love that it's not 20 tables with the same stuff at different prices. You know, every table is completely different.
Yes, guy that makes his own hot sauce.
Guy makes his own hot sauce.
Yeah.
People make their own purses. People, you know, anything you think of is different every time.
Mm-hmm.
People, some returning people, right. People bring their own video game cabinets and set up homemade video games.
Bootleg videos. Good bootlegs. I mean, I don't mean...
Not, yeah.
You know.
You're not going to get Looper there.
Oh, you want that? I'll hook you up, man.
No, I don't want it.
I'm saying,
you're not going to get like, you know, it's not like a Hollywood bootleg. You're getting like rare, never released stuff.
Right.
That kind of like old school chiller bootlegs. Let's make the distinction.
That's right.
Can't find it anywhere else, it's technically not a bootleg, in my opinion. Bootleg implies it was released and you're stealing it.
I like the name. I like bootleg. I like pirate. I don't know. I like the romance of the video pirate. I just like the idea. I don't know.
Video pirate implies that you're actually committing an act of violence to steal the item, but when you're like downloading it, how much of a pirate can you really be? You're kind of just a cabin boy at best. You're just clicking a button and getting something. You're not really fighting for that, you know, pirate treasure.
Right, there's not as much buggery. And
yeah. You know, you guys, so that's Geek Flea, November 17th. That's a Saturday.
One day only, right?
One day only still?
One day only still. That was something I was going to suggest to them. You know, why don't we try it at some point, 2 days, like a Saturday and a Sunday?
Yeah.
But I think everyone has so much fun at that after party that, you know,
they're not getting up to that. And that's again at the Loop Inn, the Loop Lounge.
The Loop Lounge, yes. After party at the Loop Lounge.
You don't want to go to the Loop Inn afterwards. Let me tell you, because down South Jersey on Route 9, and it's
a crazy place.
You know this place. For a 3-hour stay there in the jungle room, for about $60, and I don't want to tell you what goes on at this place. The loop, you pull up to this place, you can pull, drive in, and rent your room from your car and just go park in.
You pay at the window. You know it too.
Dude, man, I grew up in that area, man. I can tell you about all those places.
I worked in that area at some point, so I know the loop in.
That's right. You used to work down in the Metuchen area.
Yeah, Edison.
Hmm. Edison, Metuchen. Metuchen's part of Edison.
Metuch this.
Yeah, Metuch this. Now, okay, so we plugged the hell out of Geek Flea for like half
Thank
the
you.
Show. Now, let's get into some other stuff for a little while. Then we'll plug Geek Flea again at the end, and maybe you can come on, because November 17th is a long time from now.
It is. But we're laying the seed.
We're planting the seed, so can't you come back like a week before, like, you know, that the 17th, or 2 weeks before, and plug it again.
Plug it again.
Say hi.
Replug it. Plug it. Todd, do we get any listeners in the New York area? I mean, where are our downloads? And
they come from all over the country, including New York.
Oh, cool.
Including New York. I like that. That was a very political answer, wasn't
it?
Yeah. We've got listeners everywhere.
Including Brooklyn.
But Ken, you know, Ken's paying us $2,000 to plug his event, so we have to show him some ROI, you know, a little return on his investment.
Ooh.
So, you know, Toddy's going to want to see numbers after the show. Just you guys hook up and take care of that. I just cash that check.
Yeah. So what's in the news?
What's in the news? Now, you guys brought up this WWF before they changed the name, the board game and all this stuff. Now, Hulk Hogan has been in the news.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he win a championship?
He won the Swingers Championship. I want to know the whole Hulk Hogan situation. The sex tape. The last thing I ever wanted to hear put together in a sentence is there is a Hulk Hogan sex tape. The biggest who cares moment in my life.
I don't know. I'm just glad that I can finally scratch seeing Hulk Hogan's ass off of my bucket list. Right?
Now, I find that silly because you've been seeing his ass for years in these tight little, you know, shorts or rubber
skin.
Diapers that they wear up there. You can see the skin hanging out. You see enough of it. You can see the lines of his butt and everything.
He could have had a tattoo on there. I mean, unless you see it, you don't know, right? It could be anything. It could be scar tissue. Could be.
Now, let me ask you something. When was this filmed? Is this recent or is this like 20 years ago?
Well, I understand the whole. I'm sort of an expert on this.
Oh, go to hell. I want to know what Ken thinks. I hear you all day.
Ken,
what's up with Hulk Hogan? Have you seen it?
Huh? Unfortunately, I did watch it, but apparently it was his best friend's wife, and it was a number of years ago. And they're saying somebody leaked the video out.
Yeah, right. I love that. The guy's wife, and I haven't seen the tape, and I don't think I will, but why is the guy's wife hot?
She's okay.
Well, forget it then.
How you see her.
Well, here.
Makeup, yes. With makeup, yes.
So...
No, she's conventionally hot. Yeah.
Okay, so this is the part I love about all this. The guy says, "Come over and, you know, have it with my wife," and he goes to the guy's house, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to Florida, to the guy's bedroom with the guy's wife, and then all of a sudden there's a tape, and they don't know who leaked it out. Mm-hmm. We don't know who leaked it out. Well, whoever taped it leaked it out.
You would think
that he didn't go process the film at the local Walmart. They don't do that anymore. You know,
Occam's razor tells you that the guy with the tripod probably not. Well, actually, there's two guys with the tripods. If you've seen the tape, you'll know Hogan.
Hogan. Oh wait, Hogan's in on the recording, or he's claiming no, it was secretly.
He claims no, and I kind of, you know, I tend to agree with him. I mean, first of all, I'm a Hulk Hogan fan.
Now more than ever.
Well, now more than ever. I've always been a Hulk Hogan fan. I don't, you know, the haters, you know, whatever. He wasn't the greatest technical wrestler of all time. So what? Elvis Presley didn't invent rock and roll. So what? Get over it. He's the most popular. So what?
Did you find yourself while watching the sex tape putting yourself in the role of the wife? I mean, you know, the.
I
it turns out since I'm 13, I really just always wanted to be overtaken by Hulk Hogan. Is that what you were thinking?
Well, I was imagining that it was Brutus the Barber Beefcake, actually.
And you were cutting each other's hair.
Well, no. Same action was going on, but I just was... but, okay. Here's why I don't think Hogan was in on the taping. I don't think he knew about the tape. Now, whether he knew about the release of the tape is a whole separate question. But the guy isn't playing to the camera. The guy never really... I mean, he even said this in an interview. He said, look, brother, if I'd known there was a camera on, I would have tried harder. All right. It's true. At one point, this is the best part of the tape. I haven't seen the whole thing. I've just seen the excerpts. But the best part is the phone rings. His cell phone rings while he's, let's see, I know we're a family program, so how do you explain this? While he's being serviced.
Okay.
Okay. Oral.
Right.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
And he answers it. He answers the cell phone. And
some women like when you do that.
Really?
Women
could
like
you find me one?
They like to be degraded. Sometimes they, you know, they want you to, ash your cigarette on their, top of their head or something. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, man, you don't know the setup.
You don't know the details. But the best part of that, though, the best part of the best part is that the ringtone is his daughter's hit single.
Oh.
So, and I use the term hit very loosely.
Right. But it's not that long ago.
It was a few years, apparently six years ago. Bubba the Love Sponge is his best friend. He's a radio DJ.
If your best friends with a guy named Bubba the Love Sponge, you get what you deserve.
Exactly. Yeah, but they've been divorced for a couple of years, I believe.
Him and Bubba.
Bubba and his ex-wife.
And the Heather. Swinger wife, Heather.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. So, and Hulk said it happened during, while he was still married to Linda. So that was a few years ago.
Okay.
So anyway,
do you think he released it just to get back at the ex-wife? I know he had a very rocky divorce with.
Could be. Who knows? I mean, they could all be. Could be an Agatha Christie situation. Everybody was in on it. You know, who's going to make the money? I suppose is.
But how do you make money off of something? See, this is what I don't understand. If Hulk's behind releasing this, first of all, who's going to pay for this? What, TMZ? Is somebody going to get one payoff, and it's going to be all over the world? What does Hulk Hogan have to gain from this? Follow the money.
Mm.
You know, now. Person who secretly recorded it could go to like a TMZ and say, I've got this tape, what are you going to pay for it? So they just follow the money there. There's a payday there for somebody turning in the tape to the news. But for Hogan to put it out and be part of it, I guess unless he's sharing in the profits.
Well, Hogan lost a lot of money in his divorce, and I think they did a list recently of wrestlers' pay, and he is like near the bottom of the list. Like he makes like $6-7 million a year, where the guy probably made, $100 million a year at some point in his career. So maybe he did need the money,
Yeah.
But is it
are you gonna make that much? I mean, if you make $6-7 million a year, how much do you you're an older guy and you're kind of finished in your cycle, so to speak, You're still in the business, you're still valid. But you're not, it's not like, Megan Fox tape that just came. You know what I'm saying? It's not like.
True, but I mean, I thought I heard something about $10 million in Vivid. So even if Vivid sold the video for $1 each, they'd get $10 million easy.
Mm-hmm. I guess, it's made an offer on it. Is that the.
Someone, but I believe he has a lawsuit going.
Well, it's complicated because he'd said that he was he didn't know who did it and he was going to file criminal charges. Then it turns out he didn't file criminal charges. So then people started thinking, well, maybe he's in on it. Otherwise, he would have.
Right.
But then when that leaked, he decided he's going to sue Bubba.
Right.
Which could mean
civilly,
which could mean that they're in on it together, and it's just
one of those
wink wink type of lawsuits.
And they'll settle out of court,
quote unquote.
Yeah, it could totally be.
But how much money do you suppose he's going to lose in the long run? I mean, I don't know what kind of endorsements he's getting these days, but his family image is pretty much shot.
Well, that has been shot. You know what he's doing lately? This is the only thing I've seen him do. Rent-A-Center commercials,
Direct auto insurance.
Auto insurance. So if you want to, get a TV today and pay $300 a week for it for the next 6 years, and then you own it at the end, that's what he's endorsing right now, are these scams.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, that's the same level of like MC Hammer does those kind of commercials. So if that's where Hogan's at, then that family image, because of that stupid reality show and all the stuff with the wife, destroyed all that. He's not gonna go. He's not gonna do a Disney movie again or anytime soon. He's not gonna do, you know, the Nanny or whatever. What was that? Those kids' movies he was doing. Mr. Nanny,
Suburban Commando.
Mr. Santa Claus.
There was a Santa Claus one.
Yeah. That was a Thunder in Paradise. Remember those? Those were kid friendly.
That was a series, wasn't it? Thunder in Paradise.
Yeah, but they had turned them into like features and released them on VHS. I remember them.
Now, the very end of the tape, apparently, after Hogan withdraws, let's say, and exits, you hear a male voice, which is probably Bubba, saying to Heather, "Boy, if we ever wanted to get rich, we could just release this tape." Ha ha ha.
Right. Now, he's saying that during the heyday of what is the reality show, when Hogan was all over the place.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
So, but, you know, fast forward 7 years later, I don't see value in the tape. I don't even know if Vivid gives you money for it. I don't know. I don't see it, but I guess it's different for other people. Obviously.
Well, it's certainly gotten him back in the news. And
maybe that was part of it.
No bad publicity. Ken, have you seen the China tape? The new China video. Speaking of wrestling videos,
I don't think I could subject myself to any more China.
Yeah, I've only seen stills from it.
I remember when One Night in China came out. Remember that?
That's yeah. Well, and then there was Backdoor to China.
Backdoor to China.
Yeah. I don't know what the new one's called, but. They have. I mean, I assume it's a video. I saw stills.
It's one of these spoofs.
It's a wrestling spoof, and they have. I don't know, half a dozen guys dressed like wrestlers, or like, you know, well known wrestlers. There's a guy wearing an Iron Sheik costume. There's a guy wearing wearing jorts and a baseball cap who's supposed to be Cena, I guess. And there's like four guys with long hair and black t-shirts that I guess are supposed to be Todd Sheets. I'm not really sure who they are.
Todd Sheets!
But four Undertakers, I don't know who they are. But yeah, it's grisly. It's really, it's pretty sad.
I'm glad that Todd is all better. I wanted to say that. And
thank you.
Todd, with all respect, I see your photos and you're like this hardcore metal-looking dude. Totally awesome cosplayer, hardcore. And I hear your voice, and it something doesn't match.
I don't know.
He has such a pleasant, welcoming.
He does. It's soothing. It's soothing.
It's a pleasant, soothing voice.
And a maiden shirt, you know, with the rock in the hair and the beard, and it's awesome. It's awesome, though.
It is. It's crazy weird. Ken, give us all the details for all the listeners out there that want to know more about this, and let's bring it back around.
Check out, you could check out Unwinnable, unwinnable.com, and Geek Flea, November 17th at the First Presbyterian Church of Arlington, 663 Kearney Ave, Kearney, New Jersey. Be there, be square, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., after party at the Loop Lounge.
Loop Lounge. Ken, thank you. You know what? I just want to say, Todd, and what you said about Todd, Ken, is that you can't judge a Batman impersonator by his cowl.
Oh.
Huh?
I like that.
Lord. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Sheets. Ken, thank you so much for joining us on the Movies Hate You Show.
Movies Hate You Show.
The only movies, the first and only movie show on Jackalope.
To this day.
Tell that to your next show, Todd.
I'll do it.
They're probably like, I'm going to kill this guy. I'm going to get hate mail on Facebook tomorrow.
Once again, it's Rob Housechild and Rob Housechild only.
Right, yeah. It's me doing both voices.
Doing both voices, right.
Yeah, thanks. Well, yeah, this has been a great show, Ken. I'm glad you came back. It's been a long time. We're going to have you back one more time before the Geek Flea. So,
thank you for having me on.
Yeah, man. And then next time, we're going to let you talk, Mr. Ree talk the whole time about how he wants to have relations with Hulk Hogan.
You know, I'm locked in a room. I'm locked in a closet all day. I don't talk to anybody, and so this is my.
You are locked in a closet.
Trapped in a closet.
You're trapped in a closet all day, all night, weekends, holidays. Poor thing.
Yeah.
I feel bad for you, but you know what? I feel like this show is somewhere where you can let that hang out, man. Mm-hmm.
You can let it hang out.
You can be real. You can really be yourself, man. You can let the world know. Mm-hmm. Not be ashamed.
I'm in and I'm proud.
We don't judge here. Mm-hmm. We don't judge, no. Man. We take everyone.
We prejudge.
We prejudge.
Not judge.
We pre-screen, but we don't prejudge. This has been the Movies Ree Lee Peterson, thank you for co-hosting or whatever the hell it is you do once again this week. Todd Sheets, thanks for producing the show and
thank
cutting
you guys
us off short. Really appreciate that. Unwinnable.
You guys are awesome.
Unwinnable. Flee, unwinnable. Go there.
Go there now.
Yay. Bar. Good night.
Good night.
Take your prayers, eat your vitamins.